Question 132. Are ye come out as against a thief, with swords and staves? Mark 14:48. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Are ye come out as against a thief, with swords and staves to take me? Luke 22:52. Then Jesus said unto the chief priest and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves. Jesus was probably the gentlest man who ever lived. The prophecies concerning him bore witness to that fact, as well as do the Gospels. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. His gentle manner and kindness toward others is apparent in every story about him. Sometimes this is mistakenly portrayed in modern stories or sermons as weakness or starry-eyed piety, but as one gets to know him by the reading of the Scriptures and by the Spirit of God, one can see that it's nothing less than meekness. The meekness displayed by Christ, and expected to be found in Christians, is best defined as the character necessary to have the advantage over someone and not take it. Submission by volition is a perfect balance of righteous and humble character. It's what we witness in Jesus when we watch him interact with others in the Gospels. It's a goal for which we should strive as followers, and it would serve as a strong witness that we, too, have been with Jesus. Jesus' life was lived in such quiet, such humility, and such submission. He was amazed that those who came to take him came with weapons. It's often incorrectly said that these were soldiers who came to take Jesus, but they weren't soldiers at all. They were religious folk, servants of the high priest, officers under the scribes and elders of the local congregation. Yes, this armed regimen, who we commonly think of as soldiers, was in fact a trembling, ragtag bunch of church members setting out to do God's work. This is why Peter looks to Jesus and suggests that they fight them with swords. They would never have tried to take on trained Roman soldiers. No, these men were commissioned by the church of that day, a visitation committee of sorts, sent out to deal with the wayward preacher who did not sidle up to their doctrines and organization. They came to bring him in or kill him. Jesus wanted them to observe their unfounded fears. The fear of physical harm was apparent by the show of weapons. Their fear of public reprisal was apparent by the late hour and darkness, operating under orders of the high priest to assuage their fear of acting alone. So, armed with swords, equipped with lanterns, and commissioned by the religious leaders, they were ready for anything. Anything, that is, except meekness. Jesus went with them willingly. They must have been taken by surprise when he answered, I am he, to their inquiry as to the whereabouts of Jesus. They had to be surprised when he restored the ear to Malchus, the high priest's servant, which Peter removed with a sword stroke. They had to be amazed when all his disciples fled in every direction, and Jesus stood alone, silently, meekly, waiting to be apprehended. One can see in the mind's eye the puzzled faces, the swords slowly lowering and simultaneously elevating lanterns as the mission quickly came to a quieter conclusion than anyone imagined. The average man is not ready or equipped to handle meekness. To them, it's a mystery for one to have the advantage over an adversary and not take it. For someone to be so capable of winning, yet choose to lose, is an incomprehensible concept to the mind of those determined to win. But in the kingdom of God, these are principles that should be basic to our understanding. Paradoxical axioms are not foreign to the reader of the Bible, nor were they to the followers of Jesus. Who among us has not looked twice at verses such as Matthew 10:39, "He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." It shouldn't be strange to us that we are to suffer and submit to wrongdoers to gain the spiritual advantage. Knowing two things by the power of the Spirit of God discovers the attribute of true meekness. One, that we indeed do have the advantage in the very fact that Jehovah has chosen us to be His. It's by the grace of God, the willingness of God to use His power on our behalf, that we are counted worthy of saving. Two, that salvation is ours only by our attitude of submission to our God as King, and that in His will we live and move and have our being, that we are not our own, and that we are bought with a price. We therefore have no agenda of our own, and have no point to press, no axe to grind, no reputation to defend, no cause for which to fight, other than the causes of our Heavenly Father. We don't march to our own orders or in our own interest, but to His. We would do well to consider these facts in meditative prayer and seek a revelation from God about the discovery and implementation of meekness. Our enemies should fall backwards as we make ourselves available without a fight. They should feel surprise when we willingly give ourselves to them, as if they're powerless to do anything without the ability given to them by our Father. Our defense should emulate the defense Christ offered to those who crucified Him. Any speeches of defense should sound like His. Our attitude should be one of meekness. Listen to the words of the Apostle, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, and not of us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." When we take Christ's attitude of meekness, we may well be perceived as one who knows something that our malefactors do not know. We may be considered as one with unknown power. Your actions may become mysterious to your enemies, and they become fearful of you and do not even know why. It's when you fight and defend yourself that they're assured that your power lies only within yourself, because it is indeed. It is when you resort to the sword that they are able to evaluate and judge your defense as inadequate. But when you depend upon God to carry out vengeance, they become mystified. When they're not sure, they fortify themselves. When they're convinced that their enemy knows something that they do not, they approach only by stealth. When they think God is on your side, they worry, they fret, they panic. It's then that they turn out under the cover of darkness, armed to the teeth, to take a lowly carpenter's boy to jail. Jesus wanted them to take account of what they were doing and why. He wanted them to see their fears and analyze why they had them. Perhaps they could save themselves if they would just think for an instant and ask themselves, why were they so afraid? Jesus said, "When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me." And then he asked, Are you come out as against a thief, with swords and staves to take me?